Sun Leaders. This is Liam. Welcome to episode 2 of Been There, Done That. For some of you, you heard the first episode where we interviewed Tina Yackel of Closetivity on her experience of being an entrepreneur and some of her good and bad challenges. Just an overview and a reminder of what my podcast is going to be about. We are interviewing many business leaders and community leaders on specific things that they do best. We're going to be answering questions and giving ideas on how to be an entrepreneur and how to better our businesses. Today, we are interviewing my very best friend, Aubrey Warren, and kind of getting her perspective before the next episode where we are going to jump into things like networking, social media, etc. So hi, Aubrey.
Hi, Liam. How are you?
I'm good. I mean, you've been with me all morning, so you
all
know.
Morning.
All morning. So, I mean, I guess to start off with, just go ahead and tell us about yourself, your background, family, businesses, kind of where you started, what motivated you to take the leap, things like that.
All right, perfect. Well, so I come from the healthcare background. I have been an entrepreneur for now going on. I just went into my second year. Before that, I, you know, graduated high school, went straight into healthcare, did a few different jobs there. And then I realized one day that, you know, I don't want to ask anyone for time off anymore. So why not start my own business? There have been ups and downs with that and, you know, definitely a learning curve. However, I truly enjoy not having to ask anyone for time off and being able to have complete control over my schedule.
And what are, because I mean, I know, but to the listeners, what are your businesses? Because I know you do too.
Yes. So I do employee benefits for groups or individuals because we can do, you know, just an individual direct policy. And then I also do health insurance.
I mean, if that's what you want to say. I was thinking Mary Kay. No?
No, I don't do Mary Kay anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you and I both kind of started around the same time. So, you know, when I interviewed Tina, she had like 20 plus years of experience. So I was really kind of excited to be able to kind of sit down, and I know we talk to each other 24/7, but, you know, go over some of the challenges we both have faced, because I know we faced some together, and then some of the ones that we've faced individually as well, and kind of share our perspectives and things like that. What would you say some of the good and bad challenges have been?
So good challenges is, it's, you know, it definitely makes you more self-aware of like your activity, right? So every day you wake up and you go, what am I going to do? As a person who doesn't have a W-2 job anymore, you know, you don't have to clock in. So it's like, do you start at 8? Do you start at 9? You have to have that self-discipline. And it's something that a lot of us challenge with. I mean, I'm challenged with it. If I can sleep till 10, I'm going to sleep till 10.
Girly pop, you know I'm not functional till noon.
Right.
But nobody does insurance from 1 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Exactly. So that, you know, it's, for me, it just helped me grow internally, you know, and become more self-aware of like what I'm actually capable of and what I need to personally work on. Some of the bad challenges is, you know, no one tells you that when you start a business, you need to have something else to depend on. Starting a business doesn't get up and running for at least a few years. You know, so that's the biggest challenge, is not having a consistent income with just this job.
And I can definitely speak on that too. And, you know, lately I've been kind of like quiet about it because I was kind of nervous, to be honest, about how I'm working, right? Because I don't want people to hear, oh, he's got 3 jobs, he's a shitty insurance person. But it's not whether you're good or bad, it's just because when you first start, you're starting from scratch. So, you know, it does take a little bit of time to get going. And like I said, we both kind of started around the same time. And I mean, I, for one, I think we're right there. We're using one more grain of rice and then we're like right over and we're smooth sailing. But I don't know. It, like you said, it takes self-discipline, and that's something that I struggled with a little bit when I first started as well. So what's a major setback that you felt that you've had?
So with my main job, the major setback is, instead of having one way of doing things, they have 10 different ways to do the same one thing. So that, you know, as a new person in this position, you go in, you're like, oh, okay, well, I know how to do, you know, X, Y, and Z this way. And then you go to someone, they're like, nope, that's not how you do it. You have to do it this way. You're doing it incorrectly. So then you change. And then you go to the next person, they're like, nope, you're still doing it incorrect. You got to do it this way. And it's like, hold up. Who do I believe? Who do I not? Like, where are the rules and the regulations for this? Because there's too many options.
That was the worst part, I think, about finding my stride was, you know, getting told one thing from one person and another thing from another. And it's a different way to do the same thing, but it gets confusing because there's just no one direct way to do something.
Exactly.
If that makes sense. Like,
everyone likes to do something their own way. And if you don't do it that way, then it's wrong.
You know, there's 75 different paths to take to file, you know, a name change on a policy.
Exactly.
But there's going to be 75 different people to tell you the same thing. and that, me being a very logical person of one way type of way, that was super frustrating.
Super frustrating.
To say the least, you know, like, I just... So what? How do you stay focused during the rough parts? Like, the 2 years, it takes 2 years to start a business. That's what everybody says, right?
Is it?
So we are both at about 2 years, if not right under.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you stay focused? Because I, for one, I'm like a squirrel. I see something shiny, I'm like, oh, yay.
So the way I try to stay focused is I like to take a lot of notes. So I always usually have... like a notepad or my notes up on my phone, and I put little notes in there. And then the thing I struggle with is remembering to go back to those notes to do everything. But I know that, like, if I sit, you know, over the weekend and I make my schedule for the week, I can make a task list of what I need to accomplish on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday and Friday, and then go from there. And then, you know, what happens is if it's not accomplished on Monday, then it gets pushed, you know, to the next day until it does get accomplished. So that's how I try to stay focused.
Well, and I think you and I now kind of like joining forces more so than we have in the past. I think that's definitely helpful.
Yeah.
Because as we said, I'm a good, you know, face and smile and shake people's hands. And you're much more detail oriented. So that's very helpful, at least for me, because my emo right now is... We're not going to talk about that.
I like to stay organized.
I'm organized. I just don't.
Chaotically.
Don't be
organized.
Giving me that look. It works. Okay. Things get done. Do they not? Sip your water. All right. So we talked about focused. How do you stay motivated?
So the motivation at the moment, to be honest, is the fact that I have bills, right? So everyone has bills. Money don't grow on trees. So that, you know, that motivates you to work.
I mean, technically, money's paper, right?
I don't know. However, paper don't pay my bills. So that, you know, that definitely motivates me. And then what other, you know, the other motivation I have is, one, being partnered with you, you know, I kind of like bounce off your energy, right? So when you're super excited about something, I'm like, oh yeah, you know what? Let's go. We got it. No problem. So that, those are things that keep me motivated.
Like today.
Exactly. Like today, I was ready to go early this morning. I was like, come on, we got this all day.
I know this is going to come out in a few weeks, but for those of you listening, we're recording this at about noon. And we've both been up since about 1:30 in the morning, and we have a continuation of events and meetings up until about 7 p.m. tonight. So mm-hmm. We are going to be going 1:30 in the morning till at least 8 at night today. So that's 17 hours.
We're working through it. We're working through it.
Brought to you by Celsius. Live it. yeah.
And coffee. Wawa coffee.
We're, you know, not sponsored, but if you guys hear us, you know, we're open to that partnership. I think for me, what motivates me is something that Tina said on the last episode. And she said that the money that you make now, you see in 30 days or something like that. And I've noticed that my thinking, I've kind of tried to implement that in my thinking. And I'm like, you know, if I wake up late, I'm like, I don't really want to, you know, do X, Y, and Z or audit an account to make sure that it's all up and good and running right and stuff like that. Because that's like, you know, monotonous tasks.
Mm-hmm.
But then I sit there and I think about it. And I'm like, nah, because that's going to make me money, because that's going to make the business owner happy. And
mm-hmm.
like, it's tasks you have to do.
Exactly. You build that relationship.
Yeah. But it's just like so monotonous. And then you get tired in events. I mean, what? There's like one networking event a day during
At
the week.
Least.
Exactly. So you just get tired. And, you know, like those monotonous times, you just don't want to do it.
This is true. That's why we do schedule blocking.
We're still learning that, okay? I wish this was almost a video, because like, I feel like the readers need to see this judgmental look.
I'm not judging. I'm suggesting.
Bull.
I'm suggesting.
Highly suggesting. For those of you who don't know, also, Aubrey and I, yes, we work together, but she's also become like one of my best friends. I don't know if I'm hers, but she's mine, you know? The poll is still out. The jury is still out. If I'm hers, we'll see.
Oh, my goodness.
What is something that you've learned recently that you wish you knew when you first started? Or what is something that you wish that you could have some more help on? You look locked and loaded.
I am locked and loaded.
I'm going to be quiet.
The number one thing that I wish someone would have told me when I opened my first account, and that, you know, I understand you were my trainer, but you were new, just like I was new.
Oof.
And our
she's
trainer,
bringing, she's bringing up like dirty secrets, y'all.
And our trainer should have taught us that, you know, when you open an account, you go ahead and you already schedule out your next communication. So you're once a month, just check-ins. Hey, how everything's going? You know, just checking in with, you know, with the business. But then your quarterlies, right? So every quarter you contact them to make sure that there's no staffing changes, that they don't, you know, that there's no issues, that they're still able to get in and pay their invoices, stuff like that. But already have that stuff scheduled in your calendar so you're not going back months later like, oh, man, you know, it's been 3 months since I reached out to my account. Let me reach out to them now. It kind of damages that relationship that you've worked so hard to build. I mean, we work so hard to build a relationship before we even do anything.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I have an account now that I literally prospected them for an entire year.
Exactly.
An entire year. That we had meetings and, you know, proposals drafted. And I mean, I got the account and now it's blowing up like wildfire. They're opening up locations left and right. But I definitely agree with you. I wish I would have kind of known that. And it's not so much, I'm going to take that back. I feel like we kind of knew that, or at least I kind of knew that. But the way that it was explained was very vague.
Yeah.
So instead of somebody just being like, hey, yeah, follow up with them in 3 months type of a thing, I wish somebody would have said, hey, schedule that 3 months so then you go in and you continue to, you know, have that relationship as opposed to just like, oh, hey, it's been 3 months. How you been?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and then also, like, if it's in an email, not so much that I wanted, like, a full-blown template to use, but at least give me some ideas of exactly what to do, you know, exactly what to say in my quarterly email or my monthly email, whatever, just because I'm completely new to this business. I came from, you know.
Well, we both have a healthcare background.
Exactly.
The example
all
that
stuff was done for us.
The example that I use, the example I use is, you know, I'm the more networker out of the two of us.
Yes.
I didn't have to network in healthcare. You got a broken arm, you ain't going, hey, you know the best doctor around? You going to the ER.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You're going to the hospital. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go out and find patients. They come to you.
Exactly.
Yeah. No. There was some stuff up the hire train that I wish wouldn't have been as vague as it was. But,
exactly.
You know, you live and you learn.
You live and you learn and you move on.
The way that I look at it is my first year, there's a handful, and I mean like 4 or 5 things, good things that came from there. One is the account that I just mentioned, right? That I took a year to prospect it. I finally got it. And now it's blown up like wildfire. You know, one is you. Like, you're not only a great work partner, but a, you know, a good friend. But the way that I look at my past year is I made as many mistakes as I could. Not obviously not on purpose.
Right.
But there were parts of the year where I didn't have the support.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look back at my first year and I'm like, okay, I know that I did this last time. I'm not going to do it now. So then now I'm going into the second year and I'm like, there is a fire under my ass. Like, if I don't make 6 figures this year, not like commission. Like if I don't get paid six figures this year, there's a problem. We're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. You, me, and probably Eric Nutting. Like there's a problem. Because I mean, things are just blowing up.
Right.
You know, it is taking a little bit. It is taking some time, but I mean, I think we're almost there. What do you think?
I feel like we're almost there. I mean, as we had discussed before, you know, I feel like that because we are new business owners, it still is going to probably take another 2 years of just building those relationships, opening accounts, you know, getting ourselves out there and known. I say in about 2 years, we should go ahead and, you know, not reconsider, but just sit back, reflect and say, okay, do we keep building or can we just sustain? Like, it, you know, it takes a few years.
Hi, this is Josh Naiman, CEO and founder of Naiman Creative. We're the people who produce the podcast that you're listening to right now. But on top of podcast production, we take care of website creation from design to development, maintenance, management, and hosting. And today I want to talk to you about compounding efforts. Great websites are about compounding efforts. The same effort that makes your website fast also makes it flexible. If your website is accessible, it's easy to use. And the same effort to make your site tell a story that leads to revenue makes it memorable. Get all of these firing at once, and you've got yourself a real digital asset. Shortcut any, and you have a liability. So, if you're a business looking to reduce your digital liability and increase your compounding efforts via websites, well, let us know. Here at Naiman Creative, we can help you with anything to do with websites. Visit naimancreative.com or email us directly at info@naimancreative.com, and we'll make sure to take care of you from start to finish.
I think this year my goal is also obviously not only to make, you know, six figures, but I really want to open up the LLC. Because everybody hates, you know, used car salesmen and insurance guys. Those are the two, like, slimy, sleazy, like, yeah. Stereotypical, I should say.
You see them coming and you walk the other way.
Yeah, exactly. Stereotypical, I should say. Because, my dad works for a car dealership and I'm the insurance guy. So, of course, you know, I got both right here in my fam. But, you know, and we've talked about it as well as opening up the LLC of mm-hmm. Transparent Benefit Solutions. Because I think you and I, that's one thing that we do absolutely fantastic, and I will pat ourselves on the back for that, is if a policy is not right for somebody, we're going to tell them that they don't need it.
Exactly.
And that's another thing that I think I learned with all the mistakes that I made last year, is don't just sell the sale.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1,000% a relationship business, whether you're talking about insurance like we are now, or roofing, or payroll. I mean, look at Dan. Dan knows I think I met the first person today, actually, that didn't know Dan. I kid you not. I was like, oh, yeah, you know Dan? And she's like, who's that? And I'm like, what? And she's like, I feel like your facial expression telling me I should know Dan. But it's all, back to my point, is it's all relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't just go in and be like, hey, short-term disability, let's do it.
Exactly.
You know, oh, I mean, that one you can, because that's always handy. But, you know, hey, cancer policy, let's do it. You know, like, so,
you know, my dad, he always used to say, you build those relationships because you never know who you may know and who you need to know, and who you may need to know may get you into a room that you've been trying to get in, but can't get in. So I agree. Just we're going to keep building those relationships.
Yup. That's the plan. All right. What is something that you are looking to get better on this year?
So
don't tell me follow up.
Follow ups in the fortune.
I see it, right?
Fortune's in the follow up.
Fortune's in the follow up.
No, getting better. I mean, for me, I would have to go back to self discipline, right? Because, like I said, if I can sleep till 10, I will sleep till 10. But I need to be more disciplined, because if I get up earlier, then I can get stuff done earlier. I can reach out to businesses more. I can get more done with my day during, you know, typical business hours, instead of trying to get everything done in a couple hours because I decided to sleep in, you know. So, it, you know, everything's give and take.
Yeah, I agree with that. I I'm more of a night owl than a morning bird, right? That's what they call it.
Early bird.
There you go. Whatever. Same difference.
Bird gets the worm.
The worm can stay in the ground for all I care, right? I'm more of like a 1 p.m. to like midnight type of guy. So I'm not like too late in the night, but I'm not too early in the morning. And I feel like when you're an entrepreneur, like you got to be on that like 4 a.m. to 4 p.m. schedule.
I wouldn't say 4 a.m. Maybe like 5 to 5, because business is closed. Usually, you know, business hours 8 to 5.
But how many business owners you know that are in an hour before open?
I mean, yeah, that's true. But the doors are locked. What are we going to do? Bang on the door until they come open it?
But I'm not saying that we got to go bang on the door. Yo, open up. I'm saying, like, you know, we could be writing those emails and scheduling and sending them. You know, schedule send them.
So I will say, when I get up, back when I used to get up early between, you know, 4 and 4:30, because I did. Back in the day.
Like 12 years ago.
Whatever. You know, I did realize that I was able to get through emails. I was able to get through my notes and things of that nature, or my task list. And I would go ahead and get those emails, you know, scheduled for 8 a.m. or 8:30 or 9 or whatever time. And it was like, it was just quiet, right? The world is quiet during that time because everyone's still sleeping. You know, their phone's not ringing. The text messages aren't going. Nobody needs me at that time. It's nice.
Yeah, I do a lot of my emails like at 1 a.m., but I just schedule send them for like 8 a.m.
I would hope you wouldn't send the email at 1.
I've accidentally done it a few times, and I'm like, oops. I mean, regardless, you're getting the answer. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's not like it's a phone call and somebody's waking you up. You know what I mean? Like,
that's true, because you wake somebody up. Don't wake me up.
I learned that last night. We don't got to go there. So how are you changing this year versus last year? Like, how are you changing your mindset? What, like, New Year's resolutions? Have you kind of implemented? How are you making that change? Like, you've already identified, hey, I need to do this better. How are you doing?
So
that's a very Eric question, isn't it, Jordan?
Like, there's a lot of parts to that question. Hold on.
I feel like Eric Nutting's just sitting on my shoulder. He's going to listen to this and just start cracking up one day.
Okay, so how am I making those changes? So at the beginning of the end of the year, beginning of the year, I sat down and I made a goal for each quarter of something to accomplish. When I accomplish everything, you know, within those quarters of the year, at the end of the year, I should have built up that self-discipline where I can go ahead and say, you know, I get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and I get X, Y, and Z done every single day. And it's nothing new. It's become a habit, right? So I know that we read some type of book that was like Atomic Habits or something. I don't even remember what it was called. But what I did learn in that book is that instead of creating just a goal and then accomplishing it and then letting it go, is you build up to create that good habit, because it's a life change. It's not just a change for, you know, right now. It's a change for your life.
It's like if you want to start waking up at 5 a.m. to go to the gym and then do work, and you are normally waking up at 9 a.m., you start at 8, and then you start at 7, then you start at 6, and then before you know it, you're at 5.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's taking those compound, it's a compound, what's the word I'm looking for?
Compound, I think it's like activities or something.
Something like that. I don't know. But it all compounds onto each other, right? So it's not just like you're going, you know, cold turkey. I have tried to do that. I'm like I said, I'm a late riser. I normally, nowadays, I wake up at like 8, 9 o'clock. But I've tried to, I don't have any like personal time. And that's something that I want to change this year is, when I come home, I'm still working or I'm still doing X, Y, and Z. And I want to be able to, you know, I like to journal. I like to do certain things before I go to bed, read, things like that. So, like, my mindset is, and the thing that I want to work on is waking up earlier this year. So, waking up at, you know, maybe 4 or 5 a.m., reading, going to the gym, journaling, doing everything while my cup is full before I start giving people parts of me and emptying my cup. So then at the end of the day, when I'm used to doing that, I'm at a depleted cup. I don't have any more water to give. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm trying to swap that. And that's something that I'm trying to work on. But I'm also doing a little cold turkey, and I'm just setting alarms for like 4 a.m. and then hit and then just continuously hit snooze, so it's not working too well.
Do I need to start calling you at 4 again?
Do you wake up at 4 anymore, Aubrey?
Occasionally.
Define occasionally.
I cannot define occasionally.
Once a month, if you're lucky.
More than that, Liam.
Uh-huh.
But it's not appropriate for a podcast.
I feel like I've been asking all the questions. What's your question? Put you on the spot.
So my question? All right. I mean, I don't have any questions, Liam.
I don't either. You answered all the questions like that.
But there was another part to that question. You said your arid question.
What are some of your future plans, goals? How do you think you're going to get there? And what methods
and
mindset?
Oh, my mindset. So you better type up some more questions real quick. I talk fast.
What resources or support? So I know we just talked about the Atomic Habits book.
Okay.
I like to read, nonfiction works, things like that. So what would you suggest was a valuable to you being a new entrepreneur? I mean, we still are new. But
yeah.
Being newer, what is like a book or a podcast or some sort of resource that you were like, damn, everyone needs this?
So there is a book that I read that was done by an Aflac rookie, right? And it's like how to jumpstart your business in 13 weeks or whatever, or how to get your business up and running in 13 weeks, something like that. Regardless, it's like a half an hour listen on Audible. Like, it's not a very long book or whatever.
She's a book listener, ladies and gentlemen. She doesn't read books.
Oh my goodness.
She's a book listener.
But you know what? I get through them, okay? I'm a slow reader, but I can listen at no speed, okay? Or, speed of sound or whatever it is.
You have one person in this room that believes listening to a book is reading a book. I'm not going to say who. And then you have another person, again, not going to say who, that listening to a book is listening to a book and reading a book is reading a book. And you can take that attitude on your face.
Anyways. that book, you know, it has a lot of valuable information. He goes through what it's like to be an entrepreneur, especially with the company Aflac, and how to build your business in 13 weeks. And so for anyone that's not aware, if you do, you know, end up going with Aflac, they have a bonus program for your first 13 weeks. And so he runs you through how to hit every single bonus, how to open the accounts that you need, how to service some of the accounts. And it just, I don't know, it was a lot of encouragement to know that someone that was a rookie, you know, basically like rookie of the year for Aflac, in 13 weeks, that's what he accomplished. And then from there, he went from an agent to a DSC, to a RSC, to a trainer. Like, he went through the whole line of everything he could do at Aflac, and it was so quick. But he just caught on to it so quickly. And so I really like the tips that he gives in that book.
That's fair. I haven't read it yet, but I think also...
You could listen to it in the car. I could put it on my Audible. I have it.
Then I would be considered a book listener.
So what?
That's a weird type of people.
You know what? You better be lucky we're doing a podcast.
Why?
The book.
Yeah, the book. I haven't read the book yet, but I think part of the reason why he may have had so much success as well, and I think part of the reason why so many people, when starting out, they have different mentors, and we sometimes see what we want to see of those people.
True.
And we blindly follow. And I think that's an important distinction. And I don't even know if he talks about that in the book or whatever, but it seems like, from what I've heard, because I know you have talked about it and a few of our other insurance pals have talked about it and stuff like that. And it seems like he was very, very motivated and very get the job done, very mm-hmm. task oriented.
Very task oriented.
As opposed to kind of having. And he may have had it and just not written about it or whatever, but having someone like mentor him and guide him, where I think that's super important being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Regardless of roofing, payroll, insurance.
Yeah.
You need someone to kind of show you the ropes.
Exactly. You know, they always say, why recreate the wheel if it's already working? So, you know, what we do has been around for many years before us. However... you know, it's been done many different ways. So it's just finding that right. I feel like it's finding the right mentor to connect with to be able to show you the ropes. And unfortunately, you may go through a few mentors before you actually connect with one to be able to be successful.
And when it comes to mentorship too, is like you want to connect with somebody who understands you both professionally and personally, right? And like you want to make sure that guideline's in the sand. And like I've said it before and I'll say it again, Dan has become my mentor. I just met him in September-ish, and that man has moved more mountains and helped me more than I could ever express, you know? And like,
he is pretty awesome.
He's so funny, and like he's there for me personally and professionally. And I just think that's so important when you're first starting, because it is mentally draining.
It is.
Knocking on doors, getting told no, being negative a couple of days a month.
You know, I just thought about it too. So back when we had our sales training or whatever it's called, there was a quote that was said that, or not a quote, but back when that person was an agent, every week, instead of saying, oh, you know, I'm going to get, you know, 3 appointments, I'm going to open 2 groups or whatever like that, he would say, my goal is to get 50 no's. And on a Friday, if he had 50 no's, he would reward himself and go get a ice cream. And he separated himself, right? So you had, you know, agent person, and then you had personal. And so he would change his game face, go into a business, get that no. But on Friday, he'd be like, okay, I've hit my 50 no's, I get an ice cream cone. So instead of feeling bad and, you know, down about having all that negative no's all week, he actually rewarded himself. So it turned it into a positive. I think that's really important.
I think it is too. And I think understanding that no most times is not a no.
It's not right now.
It's not right now. Whether it be for us insurance because of timing, or whether, you know, somebody needs a new roof or landscaping or, you know, something else. It's not a no for good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people also get no's told from just people who work at the company, mm-hmm. again, regardless of the industry, and are like, oh, well, they told me no, I'm not going to try it again. You need to be told no by the person who makes the decisions.
Exactly. That's why fortune is in the follow-up.
All right, moving on, because we're about time, and Jordan, I think, is going to kick us out of here pretty soon anyhow. All right, what is, and I'm going to list 4 things, but you can pick one.
Okay.
What is your favorite quote, motivation, book, or podcast that you would recommend?
That is an on-the-spot question. You said quote?
Motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Book.
Mm-hmm.
Or podcast.
So I'd have to go with book. And I know that I couldn't remember the name of it earlier, but it actually would have to be Atomic Habits. That is a book that I listened to. But
so you didn't read it.
I did not read it. I listened to it. I listened to it in the car. I listened to it while I cleaned my house, cooked dinner, everything, right? Got through it in no time. Why? Because I was able to multitask by listening to the book. But anyways, that is a book I would reread again, just because it helps you build those habits, you know, or, you know, how do I say it? It helps you build those activities that become habits so that later down the line, you can think your past self, right? Because you're building up your future self.
And I think that's, you know, real quick, like, I think reading these books, since you went with the Atomic Habits book, right? I think that is, it's, they help you both professionally and personally. And I think when you're becoming an entrepreneur, there's a lot more personal work that goes into it than a lot of people realize. When I was a nurse, or, you know, when I was in the nursing field, I didn't really have to worry about X, Y, and Z kind of seeping into the work relationship. But because I'm out there grinding and we're out there on the streets all the time talking to people and everything like that, you have to make sure your mental is in check. Like, you have to make sure that you are in a good mindset. You have to, you know, some days you're going to wake up and be like, nah, I don't want my 50 no's. I don't care about my ice cream cone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay to have, as long as the next day you tell yourself, hey, it's a new day. We're going to get up. We're going to move on.
Exactly.
All right. And then the last question I have for you is a quick tip, your top quick tip to someone starting out, which I know we are technically kind of starting out. So out of our 2 years of experience, what is something that you've learned that you would give to somebody else that starts tomorrow?
So the one thing I would give, one thing of advice is to definitely work on organization, right? Because if you...
That was a direct attack on me.
direct attack on me.
If you can get your organization right, therefore, you know, you set up your schedule, you know, over the weekend or on a Friday or whatever, you set up your schedule for the next week. You already know what you're doing so that when you wake up in the morning, you're good to go. You don't have to think about, oh, you know, did I do this? You know, do I have to send an email? Do I have to make a phone call? It's already on your schedule. It's already planned out. You just follow the day. It's kind of like being a W-2 worker, but, you know, you're just working for yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just takes away the questions of what do I have to do today? What did I forget to do today? What do I got to do tomorrow?
Yeah, that's... That was a direct attack on me.
It was not a direct attack, well, but anyways, I am helping you on it.
Well, anyways, with that, ladies and gentlemen, it was a delight to talk to myself. Aubrey's over there. She can stay over there. But yeah, if you guys have any questions or want me to cover something specific, such as networking, social media, kind of how to start, feel free to reach out to me on social media. My Instagram is at Transparent Benefit Solutions, all one word. And it is a good day to have a good day. See you guys.